everyone, and welcome to this week's Persuasion, Influence, Motivation, Negotiation, Self-Persuasion Call, whatever we want to call it. Today is March 3rd, 2010. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Welcome aboard if you're brand new to the call. And it's pretty simple. We're going to spend the next 15 minutes talking about an actual persuasion technique. And then we'll open it up for questions and give you some homework to actually apply it this week. Remember, there's over 100 tools of persuasion. Most people use 3 to 4 over and over again. The more tools you add to your toolbox of persuasion, negotiation, influence, building trust, the more successful you're going to be. There's direct correlation between that and your success. We already know that. That's why we're here. That's why we're going to work on it. So welcome aboard. Write down any questions that you have. And we'll talk about something that's actually relatively simple, but the majority of people tend to blow. And that is understanding choices. Now, human beings, as you know, when you talk about the persuasion process, the moment that they sense that they need, want, and like your product or service, and so a lot of times they're going to resist you just because that's human nature, because they sense you're trying to persuade them to do something. Remember that great persuaders help people persuade themselves. That's your goal. Help people persuade themselves. Now, let's talk about the world of what we're finding with choices. Is that when you give somebody choices, that it actually, they feel more autonomous, they feel like they're making the decision, and it actually helps you as a persuader because it feels like they're making a choice. Now, the key with choices is understand that they need to all win for you. If you give somebody 2 or 3 choices, as a persuader, you shouldn't really care which one they take because they'll all win for you, but that person will sense like they are making the decision, which in essence is helping them persuade themselves. Let me talk about some blunders out there, and we'll talk about how to implement this. I was coaching a student who sold mutual funds for a living. Now, as you know, there's well over 10,000 mutual funds, all right? So what he would do is he would sit down with this prospect, go over their financial investing, and they would have a second meeting. And in this second meeting, this person would say, this is before we coached them, well, here are the 75 mutual funds that fit your criteria as an investor. Now, let me throw that out to the group. What's wrong with that picture?
Too many choices.
Too many choices. And an overwhelmed or confused mind will say no. Your brain can't fathom that. We can't grasp that. That's too many choices. If you look at phone numbers are around 7 digits. If you look at what our brain can remember, it's usually 5 things plus or minus 2. So 3 to probably 7 things. So if you're going to create choices for somebody, which you need to do, because again, it feels like they are deciding for themselves, even though each one wins for you, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 different choices. That's what's so important about these decisions is they need to feel like they're making the decisions. Another example, this elderly lady went to the doctor, and this doctor said, you need to take this medication every night before dinner. And she wouldn't do it. Now, her children were upset. Her children were talking to the doctor. The children told her to do it. The doctor told her to do it. She wouldn't do it. Because you know human nature that many times when we're told to do something, even when we know deep down it's probably good for us, a lot of people will tend to resist. So they took the children were they didn't know what to do. So they took her to another doctor, and this doctor understood the world of persuasion and influence, and this is what the doctor said. Here's the medication, and what you need to do is choose if you want to take this medication in the morning with your breakfast or in the evening with your dinner. Now, we don't care when she takes it. She needs to take it with food. It could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner. But she felt like she was. That's the critical thing about choices. 2 to 3 choices. Because if you give way too many, a confused mind says no. Here's another study. They set out all this different type of jam. And when there were 6 jams, they asked people to rate which one was the best. Then they did it again with 26 jams. Now, if you had 26 jams and jellies in front of you and you had to rate which was the best one, what do you think would happen?
I got nothing.
You couldn't do it. The brain can't handle that. Gentlemen, or even ladies, if you're looking at perfume to buy perfume, they're not going to let you smell more than two or three because your brain can't grasp that. So what's the lesson here? As a persuader, you need to find two or three choices for your product or service at the end of your presentation, your call to action. What are the two or three things? And you don't care which one they choose. They will all win for you. They all work for you. That's what's important to understand about how this works. You need to develop choices. Now let's go to the internet, for example. Sometimes in the internet there are way too many choices. And it just really, there's too many choices. I can't reiterate enough that a confused mind says no. A confused mind says no. Now let's go to the network marketing world, and I've talked about this before. So many people talk about the compensation plan, and this is true with real estate too, when people talk about things that people don't understand, is that people never want to feel stupid. If you show them a compensation plan in network marketing, or if you explain how you're going to save their home in real estate, they might say, yeah, I see that, but they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't want to admit that they don't get it. That's the role of choices. So 2 to 3 simple, easy-to-understand choices that help them understand exactly what you're doing. Now, let's go over a few more studies here, and we'll talk about implementation here. And they did something pretty interesting, is that when they gave people choices, and two of the choices were very similar, more decision. Let me repeat that. When you give two or three choices, and two of the choices are very similar, and they have to think through about those choices, half the amount of people will not make a decision. So 50% will not make a decision if two of the choices are too similar or they have to think about it. What does that mean? If you're giving 2 to 3 choices, one of those choices needs to be such a no-brainer that they don't need to think about it. If two of the choices are kind of similar and they need to think it through, the moment the mind needs to think something through, the moment the mind needs to analyze something, it will tends to resist and doesn't make a decision. I hope you're grasping what we're talking about here. You know, consumers want to justify their choices, and they want choices, but one of the two or three choices needs to be such a no-brainer that it's easy for them to make. If they're looking at two or three choices and they're all quite similar, or they have different pros or cons, then they're going to take a lot longer to make a decision. So here's your formula. This is what you want to do. Again, this is such a simple thing, but most people tend to blow it here. Is you want two or three choices. One of those choices needs to be the one you want them to pick. That is such a no-brainer. Why would they choose the other choices when this is the best choice? This creates autonomy where they feel like they're persuading themselves, where they feel like they have made the choice. No more than 2 or 3. In fact, they did a study when they had participants fill out some questionnaires, and they were offered a couple dollars to fill out these questionnaires. And at the end, they said, look, you can either have this pen for $2, or we'll give you the $2. And 75% of the people chose the pen. Now, when they were offered a metal pen, or different options, says, well, you can have this pen, you can have this one, and they offer 3 or 4 different options, people couldn't make a decision. They kind of froze. Their brain froze because there was too much information. Let me repeat this. 2 to 3 choices, let them choose, but one of those choices needs to be a no-brainer, the one that most people are going to choose. This is talking about getting the brain involved. If people aren't listening to you, if you don't let them make their own choices, a lot of times they're going to resist you. Remember, it might be a perfect good. You're there to save their home, let's say, in real estate. You're there to help them out, But if they sense you're going to try to persuade them, they'll resist. So give them a couple choices, two or three things they can choose from. Make them simple, but make one stand out more than the others. So as you look at your product offering, what two or three choices can you add? That's what I want you to do for your homework. What two or three choices can you add to the end of your presentation, to the end of your website, to the end of your whatever is it, your phone call, that will cause them to choose the one that you want? We want choices. The brain needs choices. And part of that, if you want more information, you can listen to the law of involvement. Because if people aren't listening, you can't persuade them. If they're not thinking about it, you can't persuade them. And the more senses you can involve, the more senses you can involve in the process, the better it is in persuasion. It's all about creating the experience. Because a bored mind says no, a confused mind says no. And this is what's happening with attention spans. Attention spans are an all-time low. Most people can't concentrate more than 10 to 13 minutes. I get students a test in the university level. Someone walks in, everybody tends to look at them. So your goal is not only to give them choices, but you always keep their attention. So let me throw this out to the group. If you are attempting to persuade somebody and you can sense you've lost their interest, they're thinking about something else, what can you do to bring them back?
Repeat?
Story.
What's that?
Story.
Okay, good.
Or call my about, name.
You can call my name. That's a good one. Stories are powerful because you've been in a presentation before, bored out of your mind, but someone told a story and you listened. So using their name can grab their attention. Using any type of relevant story. Another thing that will work is a question. We've been trained since day one that we answer questions. So you, when you've lost their attention, what a lot of rookie persuaders do is they kind of speed up and try to get to the point. I would stop, use some type of question, some type of story, maybe even some type of startling statement or startling statistic that will grab their attention. Because if they're not listening, you can't persuade them. If you've lost their interest, you can't persuade them. And so keep their attention the whole time. And there at the end, you want to make sure you give a lot of, you give a couple choices. Now, if you're doing anything on the Internet, let's talk about this. What we're finding on the Internet especially, and this is true with any type of an offer, that a lot of people tend to provide a lot of bonuses. If you buy this for $29, you get these bonuses. And what we're finding is a lot of people are buying just because of the bonuses. But you need to separate those. The worst thing you can do is put it all in one package. For $29, you get this and this and this and the 10 bonuses. That's the worst thing you do to create value for your product. What you want to do is say, look, here's the offer, and as a bonus today, which creates scarcity, and you list the 10 bonuses, which creates the value. And that's how it's done. Those are different choices on the Internet. There's usually one or two. And one thing we've noticed, too, when we talk about social validation, if you have a little thing that says this is the most popular choice, or two out of three people choose this one, or four out of five dentists recommend this one, just by putting that on your website or on a brochure or in a presentation increases the amount of people that will be persuaded by you. So simple thing today, but again, this is probably one of those things that people tend to blow. Give them two to three choices and let them choose. Make sure that one of the choices is such a no-brainer that they don't even want to look at the other two choices. And make sure all the choices win for you. If you were going to try 26 jams or smell 37 perfumes, you couldn't handle it. Your brain is not equipped for that. And remember, just because you are an expert in real estate or an expert in network marketing, okay, it doesn't mean they get it or they understand it. Now, you've explained it 47 times, so you get it, but they might not get it in a confused mind says no. Okay? So here's your homework. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look at your call to action, your presentation, what you want them to do. And I want you to come up with two or three choices. Two or three choices that they can take a look at that you will give them so they feel like they've had the power to choose. They feel like they've persuaded themselves. But then there's one that's so obvious out of those three that you know that 9 out of 10 times that's the one they're going to pick. Any questions on that?
Kurt?
Yeah.
Hello? If you're sending out a newsletter, what's the best way to engage all the senses, like with just words or a report or something like that?
Great question. Now, obviously, with a newsletter or even a seminar, there are different personalities. There's different what we call senses. Most people are visual. Some are auditory, and some are kinesthetic or feeling. So the key is to try to probably incorporate a little bit of each. Most people, remember the numbers, like 70 to 80% of people are visual. So you probably want to use more visual words. And that's something that we teach when you're persuading one-on-one, for example. When you meet somebody, they're either a visual person, an auditory person, or a kinesthetic person. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're meeting them face-to-face and you ask them a question, they have to think about it. For the most part, visual people will look up, auditory people will look side to side, and kinesthetic people will look down as they gather their thoughts. It's just one of those, we won't go into the psychology of that, but as you hear people, a visual person is going to say, do you see what I'm saying? Did you see that? And auditory, did you hear what I'm saying? And kinesthetic, did you feel what I'm trying to tell you? You can tell by their word choice and their eye movements that what the direction. So the question is, if you're one-on-one, you want to adapt to that one, but if you're doing a newsletter, the majority would be visual, but you might want to add a little bit of the auditory and maybe a little of the kinesthetic. Mostly visual. Most people are visual. If you just want to err toward one, most people tend to be very, very visual, and that's kind of how you should write it to where when they read it, they can see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You bet. Any other questions out there in persuasion land? You guys are easy tonight. One thing, as you're thinking about questions, that really helps with keeping people's attention is repetition. Now, you've heard it before, repetition's the mother of all learning, and there's some reality to that. Repetition does increase understanding. It does increase retention. What I would do is make sure you repackage. You probably want to repeat 2, 3, 4 times during a sales letter, during a website, but you want to repackage it in such a way so it's a little bit different. You're not regurgitating the same thing 4 times, but you're saying the same thing 4 times in 4 different ways. You might use a story. You might use a testimonial. You might use a statistic in different ways that'll help people out. And that's just kind of how the brain works, is to be able to use repetition. Get them to participate in the process. Get them to say yes. Get them to visualize it. If they can't see themselves doing it, it's not going to matter. So that's a big obstacle we see in network marketing is even though they can see it's a great opportunity, even though they can see it's a great product, if they can't see themselves talking to their family and friends, it doesn't matter. One of the things they did was, I believe it was in California, they did a study with people going door-to-door selling cable. One thing that dramatically increased sales would say, can you see yourself with all your friends watching the sports games, watching the movies, they're coming over, they're eating popcorn? Just by visualizing that, tripled the amount of people who ordered cable television because they could visualize it, they could see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. You have to get them involved. You have to create that experience. You have to be able to sometimes even get them to taste, touch, feel your product or service because sometimes they might not understand exactly what it is. Any questions? things you're running into. So, 2 to 3 choices. One of those choices is a no-brainer. Get people involved. Let me give you a couple things with getting people involved. Some of you have a product or a service that is really hard to explain. For example, nutritional products. You can talk about all day long how it's going to change their health. Why don't you just have them try it? America Online. How many America Online CDs have passed through your fingers in the last 20 years? Anybody have a number?
Thousands. If not more.
And for a while there, they were the biggest. When you look at test driving a car, they don't charge $50 to test drive a car. It is free because they want you to come inside. You look at the CD clubs, 10 CDs for 10 cents. Or even my favorite example is Post-it notes. Everyone uses Post-it notes every day, but did you know that they were a complete failure? Nobody wanted them because people couldn't understand it, what it was. I mean, how do you explain a Post-it note if you've never used it? Well, a sticky thing that you don't use, staple, but you can reuse, write notes on thing. It makes no sense. In fact, when they launched Post-it notes, it was a complete and utter failure. It didn't work because what do you compare it to? And nobody, they never used it before. Why would they use it? So what they did is they sent a case of Post-it notes to the secretaries of the Fortune 500 companies. They used it. They tried it. Other people saw it. It was on contracts. It was on different things. And the rest is history. Post-it notes is a multi-million dollar industry because they got it out to the masses. People could taste it, touch it, use it, and feel it. Get people involved any way you can. Get them involved by them making choices. They feel like they're persuading themselves. They feel like they are in control. But you formulate those questions. That every question wins for you, but one of those choices needs to be just a no-brainer that people will do 9 out of 10 times. Any other questions out there? Anybody? All right, so this is what we're doing. Think about it this week. Let's just try with two choices. What two choices can you give somebody at the end of your presentation, at the end of your website, at the end of your sales letter? A couple of choices. One of the choices is going to be completely the no-brainer, the best solution. But, you know, every once in a while, people are going to choose the inferior one. That's how people are, and that's okay. At least it still wins for you. Two choices that they can choose from. They've made a decision. They've persuaded themselves. So if you're doing real estate, you have a couple of choices. Do you want to, and in fact, some people even in sales call it the alternative close. Do you want to meet Monday or Wednesday? And when there's a connection there and there's trust, that tends to work very, very well. Sometimes it seems you want to look at this interest rate or this interest rate. So there's a couple different choices. And you don't care if they choose Monday or Wednesday as long as you're meeting with them. That's called the alternative close in sales, but still has a lot to do in the world of persuasion. So work on that this week about choices. Even when maybe your children, your family, or friends come up to you and they want something, develop a couple of choices, and you'll be amazed how people are happier to go along because they chose, but they chose something that you wanted. Okay? Simple. A lot of people tend to violate this all the time. All right. Any last-minute questions or comments?
Kurt.
Yeah.
When you run into somebody that's apparently afraid of being sold something and he just won't enter into dialogue with you, and he basically just says, you know, let's just cut to the chase. What's the bottom number? And doesn't allow you to, you know, develop rapport, doesn't allow you to present anything, doesn't allow you really to talk about it, other he just wants to know what the price is. Any methods that you use that helps get him back into the game?
Sure. I mean, they're trying to take control of the situation. They're trying to take control of what's going on. And the negotiation says, well, make me, you know, what's your final, let's cut to the chase. Let's, you know, what's that number look like? A lot of times you just, the way you maintain control is to ask a question. Okay, well, great, well, make me an offer. Right? Well, what are you willing to offer for this property? You're right, we should cut to the chase. All right, what is your final number? What is your final offer? And if you feel like they're doing that, that's an old school negotiation technique where they're trying to gain power. You throw a question back at them. All right, well, you could either say, well, make me an offer. Say, okay, well, what are you willing to offer for this property? You're right, let's cut to the chase. Make me an offer. So if you feel yourself losing control in any persuasive situation, especially in negotiation, you throw a question back. The one that has the questions maintains the control of the conversation.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, just say, well, then make me an offer. Well, what's your number? You're right. Well, make me a number. And it keeps the control and the ball in your court. Your question.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Any other questions out there? All right. We'll be back same time next week. Remember, the recordings are going to be posted on persuasioniq.com/Kurt, K-U-R-T, call, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. It posted the last, I think, 6 weeks are on there. And do your choices this week. Practice. And that's the whole thing here is practice one of these elements every week. They start becoming part of you, and you'll have more tools in the world of persuasion and influence. With that, everyone have an incredible week. Bring your questions and comments to next week's class. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hello?
You there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm here.
Okay. I tried to get in there, but I couldn't. I guess they didn't hear me.
Hello.
Hey. Go ahead.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Cliff and Jeanette Kessler. We're still hanging in here.
Were you on the conference call with Kurt?
Yeah.
Okay, this is not Kurt's phone. This rang into my phone. I was on the conference call, too.
It rang into your phone, too?
Yes, it did.
Huh.
Weird, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, we were on a conference call, and we took in... I three-wayed it to my wife, in the conference call. It was the three of us connected together.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. I don't know why it rang in here, but it did. Well, I hope you enjoyed the conference call, Cliff.
Yeah, I did. Did you, you were on it?
I was listening, same as you.
Yeah, I had a question I was going to ask him. I've been trying to get on the blooming the calls, you know, the recorded calls.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been able to get them.
Oh, really?
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You know, I haven't tried it, but I was going to because I missed a couple weeks because I was doing something with my church. But I'm going to try it, so maybe both of us can mention it if we both have problems.
Yeah, I wanted to find out how to get on here, you know, so I could listen to them. I'm a truck driver. I'm on the road all the time.
Oh, bless your heart.
And if it wasn't for trucks, the world would fall apart.
That's right. So, Kurt, are you using persuasion.com/Kurt Call?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what I've got down, so...
when I get that far, I get right to where the calls are.
Uh-huh.
But I can't, I can't take in, listen to any calls. There's just nothing. I can't get anywhere with them.
Well, you know, I'm in another room, but if you want to hold on, I'll go back and try it on my computer and see if I get anything.
Yeah, I can hang in there.
Okay, hold on just a minute, Cliff. I'll go back and see what I can come up. He did hang up, didn't he?
No, I'm yeah, I guess
no,
somebody.
No, I mean, Kurt hung up, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are, other people, I guess, are listening to what our conversation.
Oh. Well, I hope everybody runs right out there and tries this and see what they come up with.
Yeah, because I was trying to get on, for some reason or another, I tried at the end, I was trying to ask them, I said, is there a, I wish that somebody would tell me how to get on the recordings, because I can't get on the recordings. So, that's what I was trying to do.
Okay.
Here right now, I'm sitting in a 2005 Peterbilt, I mean, Freightliner.
Oh, my gosh. Where are you?
Road. I'm in Massachusetts.
You're
my
in
wife,
Massachusetts?
I'm
and
in
Massachusetts. Where's your
my
home?
My wife is in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, my gosh. You're a long way
I'm
away.
A truck driver. I'm a truck driver.
Okay. Cliff, it wouldn't take the forward slash, but it's threw me into persuasion.com, and I'm going to do a search down here at the bottom. Are you on your computer?
No, I have to hook my phone up to it.
Okay. I'm doing a search for Kurt Call. And it's not taking it. Let's see, KU, oops.
I went right, when I got into it, I got right into it. I went into the thing and it's, I think I used, yeah, I could use Kurt Calls.
Okay, we found Kurt Call. Let's see what we got. Oh, it took me into,
by the way.
Pardon?
Where are you at, by the way?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big span.
Well, we are,
Massachusetts to Colorado.
Yeah, it says we found Kurt Call, then it shows, takes me into, a directory for Kurt Calls, a guy by the name of Call, Kurt.
I got right off the main page, because the main page for the his main page.
Well, that's where I am.
Kurt.
It says welcome to persuasion.com.
Yeah.
And
then down and down, I think about a third way down, there's a list.
Right.
Information. And then one of them is Kurt Calls. And then,
I don't have that on my list. That's
well, something is about the, maybe it's recordings, Kurt's recordings or something?
I have nothing even close.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Huh. And you, let's see, let me try this one again.
Is there a search thing that you can, on his thing, on his,
Yeah, that's what I did.
And you put recordings?
Okay, sales or training and interpersonal communications. Let me try recordings. I did the Kurt Calls before. Let's see what we got. Audio recording software. List of recording studios. We don't want that. No. No. It's all about recording studios, so that's not what we want.
No.
T-E-L-E-C. How about telecon? Let's try that. Need a loan. Well, that doesn't work. Well, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm not being very successful here, Cliff. I'm sorry. I thought maybe I could be of help, but I'm thoroughly puzzled.
Well, this has been about a 3-month project for me.
Well, I'm going to make a note, and I'm going to be sure to ask him next week. I'll try a couple more times and see if I can come up with anything else. But I will be sure to ask him about that.
How about let me give you my phone number?
Okay.
Because it's kind of hard for me to do things while I'm driving.
Oh, I bet.
And I don't have a lot of extra time to, when I have to stop, I generally what they call it is a 10-hour break.
Okay.
And 8 of that hours has to be sleeping.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
so I can go for the next
10 hours.
Next
14.
Yeah, 14. It's 10 hours, and it wind up being maxed out about 14.
Oh,
so
that's a long time to drive.
Well, it's actually driving time is 10 hours.
Uh-huh.
And there's 2 hours. 2 hours that you can fool around with, and well, 3 hours actually fool around with, as long as you can't come over. You can't go over more than 10 hours driving, and you can't go more than 10, a combination of 10 hours of 11 hours of driving and on duty, not driving.
Oh.
11 hours all again. And it's 14 that from the time you start actually start your day and to the day you have to quit, it can't be any more than 14 hours.
Wow.
So,
well,
it winds up
for your safety too, huh?
Oh yeah. If you go over you go over 14 hours, you won't be able to get enough sleep to cover you up for the in the 8 hours.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Like, well, why don't you give me your number, and I'll call you if I get any results. If you don't hear from me, I had no results. Okay.
Okay. All right. It's 407.
407.
443.
443.
6564.
6564. And my name is Gloria Jean.
Okay. And my name is Cliff Kessler.
Okay. And my last name is
Kessler.
Garrett.
Yeah.
So, okay, Cliff, I will call you if I am successful. Otherwise,
yeah,
we'll have to jump on him next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I can't make every call because my schedule winds up being, if I have to be asleep during that time, I have to be asleep. There is
okay.
No, I can't be on the call.
I understand that. Now, will it disturb you if I call? Or will
if,
you have your phone turned off while you're sleeping?
My phone is not turned off. It stays on 24/7.
Okay.
I turn it off for about 15 minutes during the day sometime, because it winds up being, if I don't turn it off for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
If I'm in an area where the phone is not working, it doesn't upgrade the towers.
Oh, right.
So you turn it off for about 10-15 minutes, and then you when you turn it back on, it's upgraded that area all the towers to where you can receive in the towers.
Oh, well, that's a cool idea.
So if you turn it off, you turn it off. Well, the telephone company will tell you that. So you turn your telephone. If you're in an area and your phone don't work, turn it off.
Hmm.
Wait a little bit.
I didn't know that.
A little bit, and turn it back on again. And it'll upgrade all the towers that's available in your area.
Oh, well, thanks
if you
for
have
letting
a tower,
me know that.
If you have a tower that's, like, you can't reach anybody, you know, you can't get out.
Right.
Just turn your phone off. Wait 3, 4, 5 minutes, and turn it back on again. And when you turn it back on again, it's going to up your tower. You're going to find probably you have a tower there. It may not be the same tower that's connected with your phone company.
Right.
But you will have a tower. Because it'll pick up the nearest tower to where you're at and turn it on to where it will receive your calls.
Well, that is excellent information. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I didn't know it until somebody else told it to me. I just pass it on.
Well, I appreciate you passing it on, Cliff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will, like I said, I'll call you when I get any information.
Okay.
And you have a safe trip?
Yeah, right now I got probably about 12 hours I'm going to be sitting here till tomorrow morning before I can unload.
Well, that's kind of dead time for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I do. I use it to sleep.
Well, good for you.
I went down and got me a good meal, and I'm going to sleep to get with a full belly.
That's the only way to do it, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's like a big old bear with a full belly. And
sounds like somebody's trying to get a hold of you, Cliff. Are you there?
Yeah. It's probably trying to get a hold of you.
Okay, could be, but it's not showing on my phone, so I don't know. This is a new phone. I haven't totally set it up yet. I just plugged it in for tonight, so.
Yeah.
I got to get used to it, okay?
It probably is your phone because I got nothing on it.
Okay, great. Well, I think my
wife is still online.
Is she? Well, hello, wife. You have a nice night.
You too.
Okay, Cliff, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. You there, Annette?